and that was amazing. We had this Christmas music blaring on the back, and as we drove downtown, people were swaying to the music and singing to the music. I had my two little grandkids with me, and they were just wound because I was feeding them chocolate, and it was just absolutely wonderful. And of course, I'm an emotional person, so you know what happened. That was one thing. That's not all that happened. Barb and I hosted our annual shop Christmas party this year, and we thought we'd do something different. And in the afternoon, we had horse-drawn wagon rides outside, and we had a great big bonfire. And the people just sat around that bonfire. It was a beautiful day, and we listened to music. We had hot chocolate and coffee, and the kids could go round and round and round, and the atmosphere was almost amazing. It was like a Hallmark moment, if you will. So that's a clue, Hallmark moment. You now know the other thing that I did is I've watched an immense amount of Christmas movies in the last few weeks. So a few weeks ago, we did another thing. We attended our grandchildren's Christmas party or Christmas concert, and that was astonishing. I love it. Some of those kids are so darn passionate, it's unbelievable. Some not so much. And then there are those that are, of course, are completely distracted. But I just love little children. What they do is they stand up on the stage, and what do? They stare and look for mom and dad or grandpa's eyes, and it's such an amazing event. Those kids were astonishing. They just did a great job. I baked almost 150 shortbread cookies, and people like my shortbread cookies. I'm not bragging. It's my mom's recipe. Thank you, Mom. But anyway, I sampled a few, too many. I sampled a few this evening, as a matter of fact. Last but not least, I listened to Christmas carols. I've been listening to them since the beginning of November, and I'm still going strong. So, I'm kind of wound about Christmas. But saying all of this, tonight, for me, is the main event. I love it. Sorry, I'm emotional about it. Tonight's the main event. All the other stuff that I did this month was great. It was a lot of fun, but it was just stuff. And if tonight hadn't happened, it would have just been stuff. Tonight is the main event for me. I have fond memories of Christmas Eve services. You know you're getting old when you use that term, I have fond memories. Well, I'm not that old, but I am old. Over the years, I've enjoyed the fellowship of people coming together in the Christmas Eve service. My dad used to say I was a bit of a pyromaniac because I really enjoyed when they lit the candles and I would play with them. And I have to admit, I am a little bit of a pyromaniac sometimes. I like that part. I enjoy listening to someone read the Christmas story, Luke 2, 1 to 20, the events of Jesus' birth. In my head, I can imagine, if you will, Joseph and Mary going down the road to Bethlehem. Because I've spent quite a bit of time on the farm, I can imagine the smells in the stable in my head. I can also envision the innkeeper, the wise men, the star, and everything coming together with the birth of Jesus Christ. It's all so amazing. And I think that's why Christmas Eve is especially special to me. It's a time when I feel particularly close to God, more so than perhaps any other time of the year. But you know what? Sadly, this isn't the same for everybody, is it? Some here tonight are not feeling the way I'm feeling, or maybe the way you're feeling after I told my story. Some are grieving because they have lost a loved one. This is their first Christmas. Some have no friends. Some have no family around them, and they're feeling really isolated. Some are hurting physically, emotionally, financially. Some are distracted, even angry because of the uncertainty around them. Some of you are not really sure if you're going to have a job in the new year. Then there are those that just don't believe in Christmas at all. They're upset about the whole thing. There are some that only think of it as a day off with pay, and they're mad because it didn't fall on a Tuesday. And it's so true. Over the past few weeks, I've met people that I have just described in every situation. As I come in contact with the pain, the hurt, the negativity, the discouragement, the fear, the loneliness, the depression, the anxiety that these people are feeling, I find that it kind of wears on me a little bit. It touches my heart and it hurts. Beyond the things that are out of our control, one of the biggest things that I think is changing how people or many people feel about Christmas is the shift in our society's thinking. I'm not going to get political, but there's a shift that's happening. I'm very concerned about the path that we're heading as a country. Our opinions and our actions surrounding Christmas and other faith traditions are dramatically changing right before our very eyes. A few weeks ago, I read about a school principal in a small community in Nova Scotia, small town Nova Scotia. He canceled the annual Christmas concert. In lieu of the concert, they're going to have a get-together in the spring, and they're going to call it a spring concert celebration. There was a happy ending to this story. All the parents that didn't agree with that got together, and they had a special event over at the fire hall, and it was an amazing time. But you know what? Decisions and changes like these, they bother me. They bother me a lot. The problem is when we shift Christmas because of our special interest groups or our likes, our dislikes, or even our schedules, we begin to shift the landscape of what we believe about God, about faith, about morality and values. This might seem like a radical statement to make tonight on Christmas Eve, but is it? Is it such a radical statement? Here, just, I'm not going to load you up with statistics, but this one in particular, it's about our country. It's projected that by 2031, the percentage of the population belonging to non-Christian denominations will double to 15%. Doesn't seem like a big number, but it is. At the same time, those professing Christian faith will decline by 10% to 64%. That's a major change from almost 85% 25 years ago. So things are changing. Friends, these are what I would call red flag realities. I'm not sharing these sorts of things with you this evening on Christmas Eve to be negative. I'm sharing these with you with the hope that it will inspire you to do something positive. It would inspire you to change back to the real reason that we come together tonight and celebrate Christmas. It would cause us to change in our hearts, our opinions and our thoughts and our ideas that surround this amazing evening and the reason that we've come here together. I read an article a few weeks ago that perhaps represents where we are at, or maybe represents where we are heading as a society when it comes to Christmas. The article is best summed up in just the last paragraph, and I want to read that for you. The last paragraph is a story about a group of children that were putting on an annual Christmas play at their church to show the radiance, if you will, of the newborn Savior. A light bulb was hidden in the manger. At the appropriate moment, all the stage lights were to be turned off except for one, the one in the manger. But the boy controlling the light panel got confused and shut off all the lights. There was a dark moment of silence. The silence was only broken when one of the shepherds shouted out in a loud whisper, "Hey, you switched off Jesus." I want to suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, that in many, many ways, we have switched off Jesus in our community, in our world, maybe even in our lives. Even though most of us know that Christmas is about the birth of the Savior, it is easy, it's so easy to get caught up in this cultural approach to the holiday and switch off Jesus. While there's nothing wrong with dreaming about white Christmases or having a Christmas tree or giving gifts to one another, the real meaning of Christmas deals with a much more urgent matter, which is what? Salvation, of course. Have you ever found yourself asking the question, and I'm that guy, I ask myself questions all the time, but what is Christmas really about? Seems like a simple enough question. Have you sat down and taken the time to ask yourself? Maybe this season would be a good one to start. What is Christmas really about? It's an important question. It's one I think we should all ask ourselves from time to time. Why is it important? It's important because there's a lot of evidence around us that Christmas is under pressure. Christmas is hurting. The reason for the season is shifting, and as the reason for the season shifts, so will so will what we as a society believe about God and faith. And that's a scary moment when that comes to be a reality. I'm not that old. My grandchildren think I'm old. One of them said to me the other day, "Papa, I have to be really careful around you because you're really old." And I asked him, "Oh, really? Who told you I was old or so old?" And he said, "You know, kids are very honest. This is my dad." Oh, so I got to talk to my son-in-law, Dave. But when I think back to how Christmas was viewed 40 to 50 years ago, as compared to how it is today, there's been a change. I think we would all admit that there's been a change. Growing up, my family didn't go to church all that much. We didn't really have much to do with church at all. But two times of the year, we went to church. One was Christmas Eve, and one was Easter. We rarely ever missed. I can't remember missing a Christmas Eve service or an Easter service. Strange for a family that didn't bother to do anything about church for the rest of the year. Friends, Christmas, the reason we have come together here tonight, is so much more than what the world would consider as a secular event. Christmas is life-changing. Christmas is the day God sent his son in the form of a baby to be with his creation, to be with you and I and us here tonight. Christmas, the baby in the manger, began a new chapter between God and mankind. Christmas opened a pathway to salvation and eternal life with none other than God himself. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing. It's time for the church, you and I, to stand up and profess this good news. Can you honestly say that we're doing that job the way we should be? I think we could do better. We're doing it, but we could do better. It's time for the church to switch Jesus back on, to let the world know. It's critical. It's important. It's time to let the world know that Jesus is alive, that he is seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven, and he desperately desires relationship with each and every one of us. This is great news if you're hurting. This is great news if you're alone. This is great news if you're fearful of your outcome. This is just great news. Even if everything is going absolutely amazing in your life, this is great news that Jesus Christ loves us that much. Jesus is a win-win, no matter how you look at it. Jesus is a win-win. In John chapter 10, verses 10, Jesus says that he has come so that they may have life and have it to the full. Here, having life to the full doesn't mean you will have more stuff or even more joy or more happiness. In the big picture, these are important, but these are just feel-good things. In this scripture, Jesus is offering something that nobody else in this world can offer. He's offering salvation, an opportunity to spend eternity with him. There's no greater gift. If you will, there's no greater Christmas gift than the gift of this salvation. I so appreciate the promises that we find in the book of Revelations, chapter 1, or 21, verses 4. The New Living Bible says it well. It says, he will wipe away every tear from their eye, and there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things will be gone forever. You know a lot of people. You know a lot of other people in this room that are hurting tonight. Wouldn't you want that for them? No more sorrow, no more pain, no more hurt. He doesn't say, I might. He says, he will. Things will be gone forever. We need to understand this statement is a declaration to those who have accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. That once baby in a manger. This verse is a picture of what we can expect, and that should give us great joy, great strength, and hope here on earth as we are dealing with the pain and sorrow and the suffering that we might be dealing with. Psalms is another one that I enjoy. Psalms 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Are you brokenhearted? Have you been brokenhearted? In one way or another, most of us in this room have experienced brokenheartedness. You know what? Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus will heal you. Psalm 68:5 describes God as a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, God in his holy dwelling. That's an amazing picture. Throughout the Bible, there are numerous examples of God reaching out. He is with us in our times of great sorrow. He is there when we are hurting. He is there when we're sick. He is there when we're broke. He is there when we don't have a job. He is there when we feel isolated and discouraged. And he also shares in those times of great joy that we have. And I would say that if we were honest about our lives, the vast majority of us have a lot of great times. But we do go through challenges and struggles. It's nice to know that our Savior walks alongside us through all of those. Here's a question to consider. What lens do you see Jesus through? There are a variety of different lenses, aren't there? Sometimes when we're hurting or discouraged, alone and sick, it's hard to see Jesus. But we are told in his word, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you, nor will he abandon you. Now these words were found in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 31, verses 6. Here God is speaking through Moses, and he's speaking to the Israelites. They were about to enter into this brand new land, a new adventure, if you will. You know what? God knew that there was going to be problems in that land. He knew that they were going to experience some very challenging moments. But God said, I will be with you, and I will be with you always. Thousands of years later, that promise has not changed for each and every one of us. That promise stands as firm today as it was back then. God promises to be with us. The message hasn't changed. It's the same. Friends, in one way or another, from time to time, we've all come across challenges in our lives. And we've all chosen to sometimes put up these walls between ourselves and God. What would Christmas look like? Or for that matter, what would 2019, because we're heading into this new year, what would that look like if we were to tear those walls down? This Christmas, I invite you to do two life-changing things. Number one, tear the walls of fear, rejection, loneliness, anxiety, unbelief, busyness, pride, pessimism, and anything else, this is for all of us, that's coming between you and God. I challenge you to take those things down. Put them away. And then I challenge you to invite Jesus Christ back into your life with no walls at all between you and him. What an amazing difference that would be. Could you imagine what our world would look like? I so enjoy the Christmas story of Luke 2:1-20, the birth of Jesus Christ. And I feel no Christmas service is complete without reading Luke 2:1-20, the birth of Jesus. So remember for a minute the video, it said breathe. I've given you some intense things, I think, to talk about tonight or think about. I want you to just relax, and I want you to breathe. And just be part of the story tonight as we watch it through a video. I'm going to read it. It's going to be slides. I'll just move over, and we'll start. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that was taken, that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth into Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room for them available. Now there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find him wrapped in clothes, laying in a manger." Suddenly, a company of heavenly hosts appeared with angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven. On earth, peace to those who him his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just had been told. What an amazing story. What an amazing story. What it means for you and I. It all comes down to one undeniable truth. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave us one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." Every Sunday this month, we have lit one candle around this Advent wreath. The Advent wreath represents God, I believe, in a few ways. He represents God in love, in joy, in faith, in hope. Attributes of an amazing Savior. Four candles that do that for us. A quote I found this week said, "Christmas is about intentionally embracing the light within darkness and doing the often very tough work of loving and preserving the light in hard times. Even when it feels like the darkness is winning, Jesus is the one who came with the sole purpose of extinguishing the darkness." We're going to turn the lights all the way down now. I'm going to ask you to grab your candles. As we light the candles, we can see how his light can spread in this room. And not only in this room, it'll spread around the world. Everybody's got your candle lit. Why don't you stand with me? Grab your, you received Silent Night when you came in. I'd ask you to grab those song sheets. If you don't have one, would you fellows bring some? Or just put your hand up, we'll bring them out for you. I'm going to try and lead you in Silent Night. But before I do that, I want you to just take a minute. I want you to look around the room and look at the beautiful glow on everybody's face. You know what this represents? This represents so beautifully what happens when Jesus comes into your life. Before there was darkness, now there's light. Would you sing with me? Silent night.